This is Weekend Breakfast.
Do you ever try and watch Netflix with someone and it just takes like 45 minutes to pick a show?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, the running time of a movie is 1 hour and 20. Usually if you're hanging out with your partner, it takes about 3 hours to get through one movie.
God, me and my boyfriend can't decide on anything to watch together. And he's 7 years younger than me, so he's like, oh, let's watch Ben 10.
Okay, he's not Dora the Explorer.
He's not primary school. But no, he wants to watch different things to what I want to watch. I love horror movies and
scary
stuff.
He likes Peppa Pig.
And he's frothing the wiggles.
Scary stuff.
No, I'm into true crime. I love horror, anything like that. And when The Haunting of Hill House came out, I was like, have you watched it? It is
no,
so good.
I don't watch scary movies at all. If anything is scary, I refuse to be a part of it. I thought Scream was scary until I found out that it's half comedy. So,
yes.
Not for me. So I have seen, because Halloween was only during the week, I have seen people dressing up as the characters from this TV series or movie, whatever
it's
it is.
So good. It's a 10-part TV series.
Right.
Would I say there's too many monologues in there? Yes. But is it worth it? Absolutely. If you are looking for something to watch this weekend, get around The Haunting of Hill House. But it is about this haunted house. And apparently it's based on a true story. And I live for a ghost story. So I'd like to know on 131060, does anyone live in a haunted house or has had a haunted house experience? What went on? I need to know. This is something. I believe in ghosts.
The answer is no. There is no such thing as paranormal activity. The creak that you heard on the floorboards is your house moving, adjusting to climate and temperature changes. It's just ridiculous that someone could believe that there's an extra life. Like, I kind of understand the spiritualness of it, like hoping that, like, you know, my grandpa passed away. He was like the male role model in my life. And I'm like, I hope he looks down on me in some sort of essence and is proud of me. I get that. But I don't get like, I woke up and there was a, mate, there's an old woman on the end of my bed. And then she disappeared. No.
Why? Who are you hanging out with that talks like that?
That's what all people who believe in ghosts sound like. They're all twisted, weird creeps.
They're twisted and weird because it's messed with their head. I stayed at this haunted hotel when I was in LA. Oh, and honestly, I heard people having sexy time and a baby crying inside the room.
Yeah, because they put recorders in there. There's speaking.
No, why would you
pull
do
back
that?
The plaster, and there's a UE boom. That's how they do it.
Oh, yeah,
mate.
There's a UE boom inside of a 1920s hotel, you idiot.
Okay, because you're the idiot who paid for a haunted house experience. Do you know what that is? Someone who doesn't want to renovate. Someone who goes, oh, look, there's paint stripping off the walls. Oh, we could put a new lick on. Or we could tell someone that this is a house someone died in and make money, and then we don't have to clean. Keep the cobwebs.
You know
it adds.
That there's a house in Los Feliz in LA, right? People walked out of it in the 70s. Like, they had an experience, walked out of it, didn't sell it. It still exists. It's just sitting there with a Christmas tree and groceries on the table because it's so haunted.
No,
131060,
it's vacated.
Ghost stories. No, it's not. Angus, it's in like the most amazing location. Oh, no one will live there because of the ghost stuff that happened there.
I'll live there.
Oh, okay. You live there.
131060, is your house haunted? Now, this is how this got on the air. Sometimes Tanya and I prop to our producer, Ellie Mobbs, and we go, this is what we'd like to talk about this week. So I'm forced. My hand is behind my back because Tanya wanted to talk about this. Otherwise, I wouldn't let this rubbish on the air.
Okay. Can I just say, I would love for someone to get on the air and change your opinion.
Good luck.
131060, change Angus's opinion. I'm going to kick you in the shin, Angus.
It says on my piece of paper, is your house haunted?
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Is your house haunted? Or have you stayed in a haunted house? Or have you lived in a haunted house? Talking about this because I've been watching that Netflix series called Haunting of Hill House, and it's friggin' great. It's 10 hours. I watched it in one session. Didn't have a lot on this week.
Binge.
We have Lawrence on the line from New South Wales. Lawrence, you or have you lived in... Oh, God.
His voice is creepy.
In a haunted house, are you a ghost?
No.
Okay,
you have had a haunting experience. You've lived in a haunted house. What's your deal?
You're gullible.
Oh, yes. I'm actually sitting at the front of Australia's most haunted homestead, Monte Cristo in Junin, New South Wales.
Oh, my God. I went there the other week and it was closed, Lawrence. And I tried to get in and then I looked around the back and there was a freaking hearse.
Yeah, that's for anyone that needs the quick exit out of the homestead, of course. We all offer all services at the homestead.
Good one, Lawrence. Couple of gags. I get it, mate. Look, I just don't believe in anything paranormal. I believe in science, so I understand that it's not real. What is it like being a charlatan?
We get plenty of people. That's all right, Angus. We get plenty of people that come there. We get lots of skeptics from the house. But would you believe I sent more skeptics away believers than I have the other way around? It has a bit of a funny way of changing people's lives. And being Australia's most haunted house, we just get so much activity there. And just normal people change their mind about spirits and ghosts.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the house is so haunted because I Googled all of this because I wanted to go and I went and it was closed, but didn't Google the opening and closing times, evidently. But I read that the house is so haunted you can't actually have people stay there. They can stay in the homestead, which is further away, but the actual house is off limits because it's too haunted.
Well, actually, that's a little bit of a white lie. When people ring up and book, they ask, do they sleep in the main double-storey house? And no, they don't, because there's not enough bedrooms. They sleep above the original homestead that was built first out the back, which has accommodation above it, which is the most active and most haunted part of the house. But we don't tell people when they book in because no one would come.
Yeah, that's true. And so I mean, the other thing about not actually having people stay in the main haunted house is the actors can only work between 9 and 5. So you don't want to pay them penalty rates. So I understand that.
We're actually pretty lucky. We've actually got 10 residents per stay. So we've got one first day of the week, and so they can have rostered days off as well.
There you go. Isn't that coincidental?
Lawrence,
Jenny does Wednesday, 3 p.m.
Yeah, we get it.
Oh, Jenny, you're going to be a ghoulish demon today.
Apparently the 10 ghosts are the woman, the matriarch of the house, and all of the people that maybe were associated with her, right? So like her servants and stuff.
Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Crawley, the original owners of the homestead, have both passed away on the property and they're seen on a regular basis. Some of my sisters growing up in the house have seen Mrs. Crawley on several occasions and Mr. Crawley itself. My mum's had hands rest on her shoulder and had to turn around to find no one in the room with her. And it's not uncommon to have your name called out during the day and no one be there at all, or a whisper in the ear as you're doing book work.
Yeah, Bluetooth speakers, UE booms, we get it, mate. I've seen.
No one is working with the UE boom, the Junie homestead, you head. Lawrence.
We're lucky we've got internet at Junie, you know that, right?
Actually a really, really terrifying house. When I saw it, I felt nervous and scared. Is there something about it for sure?
But, you know, if you fix the facade, you get a lick of paint, you fix the gutters, all of a sudden it looks like a nice property in Sydney worth $2.3 million. So, I mean, we get it, Lawrence. Give it a lick of paint, mate, and get rid of the haunted sign. You've had enough. Retire.
Yeah, well, that'd be really good, but I think the house keeps drawing us back for it. I think they want their servants looking after the house still, even though they're long gone. They still want someone to look after the house, and we're cheap labour these days for them.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not convinced, but Tanya is just on the edge of her seat, drinking it
in. I want to know what. Wait, before you go, Lawrence, what is the most haunting or most terrifying experience you've had there at the Monte Cristo?
I suppose the most terrifying thing that happened for my mum was we've never been able to keep animals at the house there. They just don't like it. They won't come inside the house itself. And everything from my dad having a coop with chickens in it and waking up the next morning while the next run, yet the cage or the coop was locked itself, to my mum coming down breakfast one morning and find the family cat dead on the floor. Now, it wasn't just dead. It had been actually disemboweled and its eyes gouged out of its head and sitting away from its body. But the house was locked up and the door into the kitchen was shut, so we couldn't even put it down to a dog or a fox dragging the poor old cat into the house itself.
As so Cardi B would say, Lawrence, I want receipts, mate. Pics or it never happened.
Oh, he does have pictures! Daddy's taken a picture of his disemboweled cat.
Yeah, I hooked up with Mila Kunis once. Yeah, just believe me.
But see, the funny thing about that, and Angus, they're all very, you're all very brave when you're down on the other end. But staying in the house,
yes, yeah, so true.
We want to come down and spend a bit of time with us here at the house. And my job's not to convince you that ghosts and spirits exist. I just like you to experience what we experience on a daily basis here at the house. They like us being there. We look after their house. But visitors coming through, you're either very welcomed or you'll be pushed away. And we've had a few people pushed away.
Oh my God.
I just checked the calendar, mate. Busy, but thank you.
Oh, you're the worst.
Lawrence, thanks for your call. I'm not convinced, but Tanya will probably chat to you for another 10 minutes off the air about the haunted house. Give the plug one more time. Where is it again?
It's at Junie, New South Wales.
There it is.
And it's worth it. I mean, from the outside, delicious. I'm sure it's better on the inside. Also, they've got a licorice factory there.
Oh, yeah. It's haunted. Thank you very much, Lawrence.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Let's fast forward to Tuesday, where the Melbourne Cup is going down, the race that stops the nation. And, of course, I know a big part of it is fashions on the field.
Huge part of it now. Mm. Instagram on Tuesday? Oh, God. I can't.
Mm. Yeah, it's full on, isn't it?
I'm not doing anything to do with it. Are you going?
I'm going to the Cup and I've got a beautiful suit. I had a suit made for it. Yeah. Taylor's Mark. Shout out to them. They did an incredible job for a suit. Someone even said, because I've showed photos, that I should go in fashions on the field. And I went, no, thank you. I have standards.
That is particularly offensive considering we've got Crystal on the line, who is a serial fashions on the field entrant. Hey, girl.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, Crystal, I can't back it.
What do you think of Angus saying that?
I can't back it.
Look, it takes a very special person to be able to get up there and give it a crack. So I think it takes the confidence. So maybe you don't have the confidence.
Yes, girl, get him.
Maybe.
So, Crystal, how many have you done? How many fashions to the field have you done?
Look, to be honest, I've probably lost count, but it could be about 35.
Wow. Now, are you
so many.
The monster trucks, and you just go around to like regional shows, and then you go through to the big capital cities once. You know, you always like once a year. It's like in town for 3 days only. Monster trucks, and you're like that.
Crystal,
you're like, yeah, fashions on the field in a chuka. Like, do you take? Do you
chuka?
Go? I don't know. Do you go like? Do you have one amazing outfit and you go around and do the circuit?
Mm-hmm. No, look, I try to change up the outfits, but I also rent out some of mine. So if I haven't had a win in it and feel like it's a good outfit, someone else might as well have a crack at it as well. Oh. I used to enter probably some of the more regional events. So I've been to Geelong Cup, which is one of the biggest ones, Ballarat, Bendigo. Well, the last couple of years I've kind of paired it back and I'm just kind of doing more of the big metropolitan ones around Australia.
Is it almost like a bit of a gig, Crystal?
It's almost a bit of a side hustle now. It's a bit of fun where I travel around. My mum generally comes with me or my partner who's quite into the races himself. So it's kind of like a family affair, really.
It's a bit sad.
It's fun. Look, there's a really great community. I've met some really awesome people from like all walks of life. So there's like scientists, lawyers, doctors, students.
Is it like Dance Mums and it's like Abby Lee or whatever her name is, and there's the other tribe of dancers and you all like, it's like, oh, you know, you're going to the Albury races and you're like, oh God, I wonder if Crystal's going to be there. Is she going to wear that black and white polka dot she wore at the Geelong Cup? Because that was disgusting. She did not deserve second place.
Look, a lot of us all chat and we're friends, so we'll find out if others are going just so we can kind of, you know, share the lifts or have a bit of fun or organize tickets together.
Wow. This is fascinating. So is it like, when you say it's a side hustle, is it fun, is it the competitive side, or is it the money and the prizes that are keeping you going?
Yeah.
To be honest, I think it's the fun. Like, the prizes are awesome and I've been really fortunate and had some really great successes. But it's actually the fun of the process of the planning and, you know, shopping or I design and then my mum makes. Last year, I won the National My Fashions on the Field competition. So I walked away with an amazing Lexus sports car.
Hang
and
then,
yeah, and then in
Adelaide
a couple of years ago, I won an Alfa Romeo car as well.
Hang on a second.
Pull back. Good Lord.
Is this a year lease or you own a Lexus and an Alfa?
You own them.
Wow. Okay, I retract my statement. It's a business.
Can
well
I please
done.
Be your plus one? I'm a bit chubby, but I'm confident as hell. Let me at him. Angus, you have got to enter. Are you kidding?
Wow. I had no idea that was a prize. Okay. There you go. If you're judging fashions on the field, I might do it because we can collude together. That is very, very interesting. A serial fashions on the field, 35 plus appearances. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You've turned me with the cars.
Yeah, me too.
I thought you just like, oh, I've got like 27 Napoleon Purtis makeup packs that I'll never get through. That's incredible. Congratulations.
She's got those too.
Yeah,
amazing, nice Crystal. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And have a great Melbourne Cup, girl.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Now I want to talk about a couple of significant moments in 2018 for me, Tan. The first one, April 19th this year, I turned 30. Bit of a milestone.
Yes. Yeah. Did you cry?
No. And I didn't. I did have a weird moment of like thinking about my life existentially. Like, am I where I thought I was going to be? And
yes.
I certainly had that kind of moment. Another significant moment this year was October 15th when I moved back in with my mum. Now, I've been I flew the coop at 18 and went on my radio journey across Australia, and I haven't been living with mum or even consistently seen mum apart from holiday breaks for 12 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time, and two people who are very independent, my mum and myself, get into your own routines in that time. So I'm now... I do me. I don't know what that means.
Of course.
But do you know what I mean? I've got my own.
Yeah, you got your own routine, structure. You come and go whenever you want. Are you an only child?
I got an older sister.
Right.
But she's also left the coop when she was 18. So mum's been alone for a while now, and she's got her stuff down to a T. This is how my mum lives her life. She wakes up at a certain time every morning. She walks the dog at a certain time every morning. She catches up with her friends on certain days at certain times. And anything that interrupts it, aka me, has been a real problem for her. And my mum has resorted back to treating me like I'm still in year 10.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay, I did a couple of months back at my family house and the same thing happened. And I was like, I'm not 16.
Here are some messages I'm getting in 2018 that I haven't had since 2006. Now, these messages are from my mum's WhatsApp because she doesn't know how to text me with iMessage. So we have a WhatsApp conversation. I know, it's bizarre. This is mum. She's stuck in 2006.
Wow.
Here's a message my mum sent. And it's just weird and I don't like it. She sent me, "Are you home for dinner tonight?" Consistently, three times a week, asking if I'm home for dinner.
Yeah, you're like, I'll come. If I'm there, I'm there. If I'm not, I'm not.
I said to my mum, "Yes, I am. Thanks so much." And then she wrote back, "What time do you want to eat?" And I wrote back, 7? Question mark. And she wrote back, 6. And I said, "What? Okay, first of all, why did you ask? If you already knew, it was a statement,
it's
non-negotiable. Not a question. And why do we eat so early?" And I realised my mum is 60. And this is what mum does now. She wakes up early. She goes to bed early. And nothing can change that. I'm on her schedule for dinners. She wakes me up for breakfast. And I just don't know how to feel about it, Tan.
Are you getting like meat and 3 veg? Like, what are you getting? Yep. Are you getting a legit home-cooked meal?
Fish cakes and sweet chili sauce and salad. I had a steak the other day. I mean, it's nice to go back to a sweet potato mash. Like, it's nice to get the nostalgia of an apricot chicken again. Don't get me wrong.
Yes!
There's some real perks.
Oh, my God. What's the deal with parents and apricot chicken? They love it.
Bizarre. That's great, but I have to tell you, there are going to be some stories over the next few weeks because when I go home tonight, I'm staying at my place with my mum, her place, I should say, and we have to have a discussion because there needs to be boundaries set. I'm thinking I might record
that.
I'll bring it to you next week on the show.
I mean, it's a breach of her privacy, but...
But who cares?
The entertainment of Australia first.
Yes.
And
it's
also get
breakfast.
Some apricot chicken for me, just like in a Tupperware container, unrelated to the radio show.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Hey, I've been doing a lot of babysitting recently. I kind of find
Who's
it
kid?
Fun. Oh, my friend's kids.
Okay.
When they go out for dinner, I'm like, yeah, I'll watch your kids. Because I often find that they say funny things and they're really entertaining.
It's
or
not
they
to
just
justify
scream.
Being at home and being on the couch, but with a purpose.
How dare you? How do you know me so well? On brand. So I really enjoy having them over. But the one thing I find really strange is the nursery rhymes. These have been around since like the 1800s and we're still singing them. And I think everyone just sings them and doesn't really think about the lyrics. This song was playing with a 3-year-old the other day.
It's raining, it's boring, the old man is snoring.
I haven't heard this so many years.
Yes.
Morning.
Now, cute song.
Yeah,
and
cute
the bit
song.
That you missed when you were singing it back is the lyrics are, he bumped his head like in the middle of the bed or on the top of the bed and couldn't get up in the morning. This is literally about a man who has a head injury and then dies.
Dead. Yeah, he couldn't get up in the morning. The eternal sleep.
Yeah, like he bumps his head, has some sort of aneurysm and dies and we're like, sing along, kids. Are you kidding me?
Oh, it is actually quite a traumatic story of death.
It's horrific. He literally dies from a head injury, and we're like,
but yeah, once
it's
again,
raining.
It's born. I get it because I've never broken down the lyrics. It's just been part of my nostalgia
right.
that I know the
exactly.
lyrics and continue it. I'd never think about what I'm actually saying.
This one as well is pretty weird. So it's Rockabye Baby.
On the treetops.
Okay, I'll just pause it there. Who the hell puts a baby on a treetop? Who goes, oh, should we put her in the cot? Nah, put her on the treetop. That's a heaps rational place to put the newborn baby. Inside? Mm. Nah, put her on a rickety treetop. Are you kidding me? And then the lyrics continue. When the bow breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle and all. Okay, so the kid dies.
Yeah, that's another death,
dark.
Isn't it? Very dark.
I've never
thought about that.
Why are we singing these songs to children, and why are they singing along? Let's end on a high note that doesn't involve death.
Alice the camel has five humps.
Alice the camel has five humps. I haven't heard this in over a decade.
Yes.
So ride, 20 years. Ride.
And this one's nice, though.
How
it's
do you break that
death.
Down?
Oh, that's about Alice having a good time on the weekend.
Five humps. Oh.
Alice has five humps. Go, girl.
Go, girl.
This is Weekend Breakfast.